You're listening to CJSW 90.9 FM's contribution to Access Day 2019. First, you'll hear from Accessible Airwaves, a program dedicated to the education and exploration of disabled life. They provide a voice to the life and experience of persons with disabilities.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Accessible Airwaves on CJSW 90.9 FM.
This program is dedicated to the education and exploration of disabled life.
Giving voice to the life and experience of people with disabilities.
We cover a wide array of issues and disabilities.
We are people who discuss issues we are passionate about.
And topics we are interested in.
We show how disability is in the mind of the beholder.
I am your host, Adam Cairns. I am talking to Graham Wyman from Vancouver Adapted Music Society. Graham was talking to me over the phone from Vancouver. We talked about VAMS and the Lower Mainland disability music scene. Welcome Graham Wyman to Accessible Airways. He is the program coordinator of the Vancouver Adapted Music Society. Hello and welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No problem. I wanted to first talk about VAMS. Got started. I watched a great mini documentary about spinal cord and start of the Vancouver Adapted Music Society in the 1980s. Can you share a little bit about the early beginnings of VAMS?
Yeah, for sure. So, 30 years ago in 1988, Dave Symington and Sam Sullivan had an idea after their respective accidents to get back into playing music. And at the current time, the music technology was moving more into an electronic or what's called MIDI-based program. And so they were able to essentially design a program and participate in music again because they were so passionate about it. And so after 5 years of having different satellite facilities, they found a home at GF Strong Rehab Center in Vancouver. And we've been there for the last 25 years, since 1993.
Whoa. So that's a long, long time.
Yeah. Yeah, we just had our 30th anniversary. Yeah, back in October.
Oh, so congrats on that one.
Yeah.
And can you tell me about your recording space at VAMS? I heard it's the only fully accessible recording studio in Western Canada.
Yeah, we've actually just moved into a transitional space up at GF Strong, and essentially we're actually designing the next phase of our studio where it will be even more accessible. Before, in our old space, it was accessible, but we had a very limited amount of space, utilized as much as we could of it. But now we actually will, with this new studio, have four times the amount of space, and it will be even more accessible with certain adaptive devices and recording software and engineering equipment.
Nice.
That even a quadriplegic or many people with severe disabilities will be able to record their own sessions.
When is it going to be ready with like the programs that you're offering over there?
Well, we're currently up and running right now, even though we haven't started construction. But our hope is that we'll start construction in March, and it should be a three-month build.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we've been working with the city and recommended acoustic stations to literally design a state-of-the-art, fully accessible studio.
Nice.
Yeah.
So VAMS offers an 8-week mini school course for clients. Can you walk me through what's all about that course?
Yeah, for sure. So the mini school is an 8-course program that basically, after looking at the needs of our clients and what they were interested in, we catered and designed each course as kind of a stepping stone that gives our clients a theoretical and practical hands-on program. Mm-hmm. There are certain courses that will have prerequisites that you can't go to the higher levels unless you've done the earlier ones. Mm-hmm. And it ranges from the very beginning about the psychology and importance of practice, mm-hmm. and goes all the way up to how to market yourself as a musician, how to dissect hit records, the importance of the pre-production of a record, yeah. Even down to lyric writing, songwriting, mm-hmm. Arrangement. So it kind of glosses over touches on a lot of different areas of the music industry. And the inception or basic idea was to give our clients fundamental tools so they can go out and take their musical journey to another level.
Okay, that sounds good. What are some of the accessible instruments are available, and how do you acquire them for the recording studios? And do you make any of them?
So the Vancouver Adaptive Music Society is one of six organizations that's under the umbrella of the Disability Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And one of VAM's sister societies is called TETRA. Mm-hmm. And what TETRA does is they will basically try to figure out adaptive ways basically, if someone with a physical disability is interested in doing something,
mm-hmm.
they will try to figure out solutions.
Yeah.
And TETRA is a national, all across Canada organization. They have chapters in Edmonton and Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
And so with partnering up with TETRA, what we are able to do is say, for instance, someone would like to play the trumpet, but they can only use one arm.
Ooh.
They will create an assistive device so that the trumpet can stand still on its own and you'd still be able to play the instrument on a freestand.
Okay.
Other instruments or adaptive instruments we have are called octopads. And these are essentially drum pads that are just designed for someone who might be a quadriplegic to be able to play drums.
Okay.
And to give you one last example, we also have pianos that can raise and lower and tilt.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone's in a chair and isn't able to get under a piano, what this would allow them to do is the piano could comfortably sit right in front of them.
Mm-hmm. What kind of instruments are most popular at VAMS, and could be the guitar, trumpet, the piano, or the drums that you mentioned? What is most popular there?
I would say our two most popular instruments are guitar and piano.
Okay.
Hands down.
Okay. That's good. And Music Saves, that goal of raising awareness of musicians with disabilities and work of VAMS, had some very high-profile musicians, such as Dan Madigan, who are part of VAMS. What, were you part of VAMS at that time? And can you tell me a little bit more about that legacy that those tracks left behind?
So I wasn't a part of VAMS at that point. I joined in 2005. But I know when the Music Saves program started up, it was originally created by Shore FM, the Vancouver Adaptive Music Society, and the Canadian Music Therapy Trust Fund. Mm-hmm. And its main goal was to raise awareness of the benefits of music therapy, and as well as VAMS at the time, promoting musicians with disabilities in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the main inception of the idea, but it's, as you mentioned, it was kind of a Vancouver-wide initiative where able-bodied musicians and well-known musicians in the music community in Vancouver partnered up with our clients and, you know, had a great opportunity to create some music together.
Now you're going to listen Feel All Right by Music Saves.
Seems to have a change of scene. Every night I have the strangest dreams. Imprisoned by the way it could have been. Left here on my own, or so it seems. I got to leave before I start to scream. Someone's locked the door and they took the key. I'm feeling alright, uh-huh. I'm not feeling too good myself, uh-huh. I'm feeling alright, uh-huh. I'm not feeling too good myself.
Took me for one big ride. Even now I sit and I wonder why.
And when I think of you, I stop myself from crying. I just can't waste my time. I must get back.
Gotta stop believing in all your lies.
There's too much to do, to do, to do.
Troubadour, usually found underneath Vanny's trough. School soft, calm fashion, never second guessing the lost train of thought. Memorization with no hesitation, or the photo shoot is shot. Pacific Ocean pushing poles, everyone's got obstacles they had overcome. But here is the mended drum. There are no bad words, you can't hit a sour note. Just tough love and push through to show. We're all on the same boat.
Now don't you get too lost in all I say.
Listening to Feeling Alright from Vans Music Save Series. We are back with Gray Wyman. He is from the Vancouver Adapted Music Society that offers only fully accessible recording studio in Western Canada. Let's talk about the last public performance at Vans has showcased. It feels like it's giving these musicians a platform. It's very important to you. What is a strong sessions live, and can you tell me how do you put this event together?
So the Strong Sessions was originally planned 6 years ago, and that was the inaugural one. And essentially, the idea behind it was kind of tagging on with the Music Saves idea, was to partner up able-bodied musicians and well-established artists in the Lower Mainland and our clients, but to do a live concert.
Yeah.
And so back in October, we had our 30th anniversary one, and that was, I believe, our fourth concert titled The Strong Sessions. Mm-hmm. And we had 10 performers partnered up with acts like Jim Burns, Ben Sinister, Chin and Jetty, various established Vancouver musicians, and you know, we had all levels of abilities playing, which was the greatest part. We had one client who had never performed before, but had been part of our program for the last year learning the bass guitar, mm-hmm. and so this was his first performance ever, mm-hmm. and it went off great. And then we've had seasoned musicians like Jeff Stanfield play, who has been around a part of bands for, I believe, over 15 years.
Cool. Any upcoming performance that VAMS is playing this year?
Yeah, we have a new initiative in 2019 called the Strong X Sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And the main idea about the Strong X series, it's going to be a monthly or bi-monthly concert series of local venues in the Lower Mainland. We're looking at places like the Heritage Hall or Backstage Lounge. Mm-hmm. And essentially, the goal of these performances is to give our artists more time to perform and showcase what they have done over the year. These will all lead up to our Strong Sessions, which will either take place in September or October.
Okay.
But just to give a specific example, on February 14th at the Roundhouse Community Center, two of our artists will be performing at the Abilities Expo.
Great. The next song we'll play, My Walking Stick by Jim Burns. Would you like to introduce this song for us, introduce this artist?
Okay, yeah. So Jim Burns has been a supporter of VAMS for most of the history that the program's been around. He originally hooked up with Sam Sullivan, and so he's been a supporter of ours. And Jim's a staple of the Vancouver music scene since the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just brings a lot of, you know, enjoyment to our clients, a lot of positivity, amazing musician. You know, just shows, you know, even living with a disability, how far your musical career can go.
Mm-hmm.
Without my walking stick, I would go insane. I can't look my best. I feel undressed without my cane. I need my walking stick, 'cause it might rain. Oh, baby, when it pours, I can't be outdoors. My cane. Oh, if I ever left my house without my walking stick,
That would be something that I could never explain. You know the thing that makes me click,
makes me
in
click.
Lover's Lane. It was your fault not if I was ever caught without my cane. That would be something I just could never explain. You know the thing that makes me click,
makes me
in lover's lane.
Lover's lane.
It would go for naught if I was ever caught without my cane.
Since I beat the beat,
was Jim Burns performing My Walking Stick. I'm here with Graham from Vancouver Adapted Music Society. Where can people check out some of the VAMS music that artists or musicians have created?
So our main area where you can check out is on Bandcamp. And if you type in Vancouver Adapted Music Society, our three of our albums that have been produced will show up.
Okay.
So that's the main area.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also, on our website, you can find videos, like YouTube videos as well of some of our performances, as well as other things as well.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen some of your videos on your website. Yeah. But next one will be Hello Array by Rolf Kemp. Graham, could you tell me more about Rolf?
Yeah, Rolf has, again, been around with them since the early days.
Mm-hmm.
Rolf, the song you're about to play, he originally wrote back, I believe, in the late 60s, and it's been recorded by Judy Collins and also Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
And Rolf, a couple years ago, was actually inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame.
Ooh! What year was that?
Yeah. I believe that was 2016.
Nice, so a few years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so with this Rolf, how has he been involved with VAMS? Like, how long and what did he do with VAMS mostly?
Rolf, essentially, he does performances. He performed at our last Strong session.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also performed with Dave Symington for years. He and Dave had a duo together. They went out and played at local venues all across the Lower Mainland.
Mm-hmm.
He's also been a great help in curating our talent as well.
Okay.
He was also a part of the Music Saves video, Feeling All Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's kind of all of the bands.
Okay, that sounds cool. Next up, you're going to listen to Hello Hooray by Rolf Kemp.
Hello, hooray, let the show begin. I've been ready. let's go again. I've been ready. All of the audience is coming here to stay. Each of them an actor, a writer, each of them a play. Play, 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 play. Hello. Hooray, let the show begin. I've been ready. Hello. Hooray, let the lights go dim. I've been ready. All of the audience is coming here to stay.
You heard Hello Hooray by Rolf Kemp.
And we're back with Graham. And Graham is on the phone, and he is from the Vancouver Adapted Music Society, or also as known as VAMS.
Are any programs or services that VAMS offers that we missed?
The only one would be where one of our new initiatives in 2019 is VAMS Mobile Studio.
Ooh. Can you tell me about that a little bit?
Yeah, so the VAMS Mobile Studio is essentially going to be what our programs that we offer at GF Strong, but we'll be able to take it out into the community.
Okay.
So we could go to hospitals, group homes, community centers, and essentially, yeah, just offer our programs all around the Lower Mainland.
Cool. So thank you for being on this program with us. And we learned a lot about VAMS, and I never heard about VAMS before, so I learned a lot here.
Yeah, no, thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
And thank you for taking the time.
I was talking to Graham Wyman from the Vancouver Adapted Music Society. We hope you tune in for next month's episode for Accessible Airways on CJSW 90.9 FM. If you want to listen to any previous episodes, we are all on Spotify, Google Play, and if you want to follow We do also have a Facebook page. And thanks for listening in and tuning in.
You just heard Accessible Airwaves episode where they interviewed the Vancouver Adapted Music Society. Coming up next on Access Day 2019, Bumping Into Walls, a monthly conversation-style program about living with vision loss, the challenges, successes, and the day-to-day walls we all bump into.
In this episode, yoga instructor Lynn Swenson tells us about innovative ways she finds to teach blind and low vision students.
This is Bumping Into Walls, a show about living with vision loss, the challenges, the successes, and the day-to-day walls we all bump into.
Welcome to Bumping Into Walls. I'm Catherine McLeod, and with me in studio today are Lynn Swenson and Cheryl Phillips and Ted Phillips. And what do they all have in common is the ancient and sometimes not so ancient practice of yoga. And we're going to learn all about it today. So welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I think we'll get started talking to Lynn, who is a yoga instructor. And Lynn, I think you probably practiced a lot on sighted students before you started with people with vision loss and low vision and blind.
Yes. Yes, I've been teaching for about 11 years now. I teach the Iyengar style of yoga. And basically, we practice yoga and we use props when we need to help us get into the shape of a pose safely. I was teaching at two or three different studios, as I said, for the past 11 years. And about 6 years ago, I was approached by the executive director of ASRAP to come and teach yoga to partially sighted and fully blind people.
Because we don't like using just the acronym, we would like to explain that ASRAP actually means the Alberta Sports and Recreation Association for the Blind. And I would like to tell people who are in other parts of Canada, other provinces and other territories, take a look because you probably have something similar in your area.
Local.
And in other countries, take a look because I'm sure that there are other activities that you can also engage in, because most of the different committees and groups do understand that even though your eyes don't work, the rest of your body does need some kind of physical activity. And I think that yoga especially tends to reach out for people of all different abilities.
Yes, I would agree. Yeah. And the practice of yoga is for all people. It's the union of mind, body, and spirit. So it's a little bit more than just physical exercise.
And there are a lot of different types of yoga as well, I think.
Yes, certainly. There's many different styles of yoga, especially in the modern day yoga practices. And as mentioned before, the style that I teach is in the tradition of BKS Iyengar. Mr. Iyengar was the man pretty much responsible for bringing yoga to the Western world. And he introduced the use of props, things like blankets, bolsters, blocks, straps, to help us get into a more stable pose.
Cheryl, what was it that interested you in yoga?
Well, yoga is something that I have always had an interest in. And what really interested me was the type of yoga that Lynn was teaching. And I had done, I'm a BC girl, so when I was in BC, I did a lot of different types of exercises like Pilates and hiking and biking, etc. And what I find is yoga for me is a less, how could I say this, a less invasive type of practice, but it accomplishes the same thing along with the relaxing and all the good poses.
And there's also that little bit of involving the mind and the breath and the spirit.
That's right.
As well. Now, Ted, I'm not sure what part of BC you're from, as our listeners will discover when you start to speak. What interested you in yoga?
Okay, as to your first question. Yes, I am not from BC. I'm originally from South Carolina.
Yes.
As for the accent.
I love his accent. Yes.
I can sort of stretch it a bit. Buying that South
does.
Carolina accent out.
Just
a
like
bit.
In yoga, he stretches it. Yeah,
that's right.
But what interested me in yoga was I have had back problems. So Cheryl, who is now my wife, was telling me about yoga, and was also my chiropractor was talking. And to make a long story short, we were reading and found out that yoga, amongst other exercises, helps to strengthen the back. Mm-hmm. And strengthen the mind and body, and to strengthen those muscles, therefore relieving the pain. And it is true. It will help your back amongst other ailments, mm-hmm. which, you know, can make you stronger and improve your health overall.
Well, do you find as well that combination of the breathing techniques and just settling the mind also combine with the body?
Yes, it definitely does work, because I also deal with anxiety. So sometimes I have trouble, you know, slowing things down and mm-hmm. slowing the mind down. So it does help with that as well.
Yes, I teach a variety of breathwork techniques, and when we're new to yoga, we keep it very simple. The control of the breath is called pranayama, but there are many different pranayama techniques for different purposes, and we keep it very, very simple, just using pranayama to help calm the central nervous system. And often we do this breathwork, well, throughout the class, of course, we're breathing. But we need to calm the busy mind when we first arrive at class. And, of course, just before we do our final pose, Shavasana, corpse pose, it's nice to do a little bit of breath work as well. Definitely, yoga has helped many people deal with anxiety, depression, and many, many other physical ailments as well.
I think yoga is very beneficial for anybody that takes it. We even have a participant who comes in who has only one arm. Mm-hmm. And with the props and with Lynn's help, he also is able to enjoy the practice of yoga and still do it successfully, which is very important.
Yes, successfully and safely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was wondering about that, because I have a friend, for instance, that he's missing part of his foot. Now, he has to wear shoes when he's doing different exercises, obviously, because of the support issue. Mm-hmm. But he certainly finds that he's able to adapt different things. And I would think that you can adapt for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, like people in a wheelchair could be able to adapt.
Certainly, yes. Upper body movements and the breath work of course. And we often use household items as props as well. A chair, a wall.
Yep.
Those are wonderful props to help you find stability in the pose.
And just even the breathing would be wonderful as well.
Mm-hmm.
I also think getting out and working together with other people is as important. Mm-hmm. And I do mention that because I would like it to be known there is a place out of the U.S. called Blind Alive. And what they have are a lot of audio exercises, and yoga is becoming one of them, that you can do from your home. But I think it's good to practice at home, but it's also more beneficial to be out with other people. So I did have to mention that.
Mm. So you think that probably part of what you're getting out of it is also the social aspect of it?
Yes.
The meeting of the minds, as it were?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like-minded people coming together?
Yes.
Sense of community?
Well, do you think that that might be part of the reason why people go to India to the ashrams as well to study, is not just for the social, for the soul part, but also for the social?
Yes, it could be.
Absolutely.
I personally have not been to any of the ashrams in India. I would like to go to the Iyengar Institute. And I know that they also in India have classes for partially sighted and blind people as well. And I did access some of their tools and information before I started teaching this class through the BKS Iyengar Institute. And I would like to mention that Iyengar yoga is particularly suited to working to people who have vision impairment. Kathy, you mentioned all these other styles of yoga, and all styles of yoga are beneficial. But in the Iyengar style, we do focus a lot on our verbal cueing and giving direction verbally, not as much hands-on adjustments as you would think. And that was one of the things that surprised me when I started teaching this particular group of people. I didn't really have to give any more hands-on adjustments than what I would give in a class for sighted people, as long as I described what I wanted them to do correctly and clearly. And we used to laugh and joke around, especially when I first started teaching partially sighted people, because I was new to this too, and I was learning. And I'd get my left and rights mixed up, and these guys were trying to follow my directions. And sometimes I'd give a cue, and nobody was doing it. So I knew that I had to get something sharper and more precise. So overall, it has made me a better teacher, for sure.
Well, that's good to know. Actually, it's funny because so often people give even the wrong directions totally when you're asking which way to cross the street.
Yeah,
so I would think that when you're facing a class and you're trying to think of what way to tell them to move, it can often be very challenging to remember which way is left and which way is right.
Of course, because the teacher is mirroring the students. And all of my colleagues, we all laugh and joke about that sometimes we get our mirroring mixed up. So, whether you're teaching a class full of partially sighted people or sighted people, it happens.
Yeah.
And we just have fun with it.
If I may say, whenever that verbal instruction, that verbal cueing is so very important, I think, especially when you're new, like I was, because I can remember when I started, which was, a couple of years ago now?
Yeah, at least, Ted.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember coming in and thinking, wow, I'll never remember all of this. And it's surprising, you know, how much of it just falls into place.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because of the verbal cues and, you know, learning what to do. And it's because of the verbal instruction that was and is there.
And when the students are in the pose, it's at that point that I start to refine the shape of the pose by giving additional cues to allow the student to adjust a small amount or a large amount and feel the benefit of that adjustment. So,
and yeah. I think that's an important point, because another part of learning yoga is learning how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
What is the right feeling for your body, and how you can work on it. And an example for me would be I have bad arthritis in both my knees. But what I find is I have to give yoga credit for helping to build the muscles to stabilize. And I know that if I don't have my feet placed absolutely properly, I will have a lot of pain. So you learn very quickly what feels like it's the right way to move in yoga.
And that's where the props can come in handy as well. Or as I mentioned before, a simple cue, Cheryl, move your foot forward an inch, that kind of thing, to protect her knees. And this is the beauty of Iyengar yoga. You can adapt, but Cheryl and Ted are absolutely right. For any student of yoga, it's more about what do you feel when you're in the pose.
You are listening to Bumping Into Walls on CJSW 90.9 FM in Calgary.
Now, as people who are not able to always see what the instructor is demonstrating, Cheryl and Ted, are you sometimes translating what she's saying, or are you sometimes having to ask her to explain what she has told you to do?
I guess I would have to say translating is a rather interesting word to use, but for me in yoga, when she says verbally what we're doing, it's pretty straightforward. Sometimes when we're trying a new pose, for example, when she verbalizes what it looks like, it's harder to grasp mm-hmm. what she means, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in that case, Lynn is very good about coming and showing what a pose should look like. Then it helps clarify for us what she's expecting, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that, you know, if somebody is saying it's like a mountaintop and you don't know what a mountaintop is supposed to look like.
Right. And that's where she will come and actually show you what it should look like.
What do you think, Ted?
In general principle, I would have to agree with everything Cheryl said, except, you know, just to add to that, probably the only thing would be sometimes she has to come and clarify
mm-hmm.
because all of us in the class probably learn in different ways and have different styles of learning.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And in spite of us all being blind in differing degrees, some of us even are visual learners.
Mm-hmm.
I have been told I was a visual learner.
And that's a funny thing to say, because even when you're blind, you can still be a visual learner.
Absolutely. Yes.
I'm also very much a visual learner.
Yes, I am. I'm still a visual learner.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, for instance, when I was very young, I won't say how young, because then
I'd know how old you are.
How old I am. But anyhow, I had to learn to tie my shoes. People tried to put their hands on my hands
mm-hmm.
and show me that way time and time again. It just never stuck.
Yes.
It never worked. until one day somebody went through the process with me and told me how to do it.
Right.
And that's what it took for me to learn to tie my shoes.
Right.
And Lynn is adaptable in working with the different styles of learning. And that's what it takes for all of us to be successful.
Absolutely.
And that's the test of a supreme teacher, I think, to be able to be adaptable and to understand.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yes.
Because I know that I've got friends who are auditory learners, and they simply cannot understand that someone who is blind has a hard time learning by listening. And I can't. I really have a very difficult time translating something by listening into learning.
Yes.
It's difficult for me.
Yes.
And there are times when Cheryl speaks of, I come and show how to do the pose. Well, obviously, I can't really demonstrate the pose because the students are partially sighted or totally blind. But I will at that time come around and maybe do some hands-on adjustments, helping mm-hmm. the student get into a better shape of the pose. Or maybe I'll use some imagery then. You know, there's one pose we do called Biddalasana, cat-cow pose. So I will ask the students to round their upper back like an angry cat, you know, hunching his back,
right,
and that sort of thing. So imagery can help, yes, for sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I have even said, if we have all been into a pose, I have said, hold on, I've lost it.
Yes.
I've lost it.
Yeah.
Yes, and we start over step by step.
And that's, I think, probably where the value of being in a group helps.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because you can work together and understand that it's okay for mm-hmm. someone to admit that they've lost it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And yoga should be fun. And there's even times when one of the students will give their own verbal cue because they know what I'm trying to say, but they realize that their friend on beside them isn't quite getting it. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, do this. And it helps.
Yes.
So we all learn together and then there's the memory. Not only the memory of what we just did in your mind, in your brain, but the cellular memory.
Yes.
Of how it felt in your body. So the next time we come to class and we repeat quite a few poses, because that's what yoga is, repetition helps you to learn and helps to heal the body.
Mm-hmm.
We do introduce new poses, but we do repeat a lot of poses. So the next week we come to class and I ask the students to do a downward facing dog and remember what you felt last week. What corrections did we make? What props did we use for you, Anthony, that Cheryl needed as well or didn't need? So everyone has their own customized pose for their body.
I always find the names of the yoga poses to be so funny.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's times I'll rattle off a Sanskrit name just because I know it makes them laugh. Makes me laugh, too, because it sounds so funny. Mm-hmm. But they all have the English translation as well and a purpose for being named that.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you find that the precision that you have to use for teaching these classes makes you a better teacher with your other classes?
Yes, absolutely. I, as I said, I've been teaching now for 6 years with this population, and my students at my other classes have noticed the changes in my cueing. They are very excited that I'm doing this, and many have commented that they can see the progression in my own skills.
And also, I will tell you that people with vision loss and low vision, they're not going to give you any breaks on anything. They're going to challenge you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. If I use that, oh, just step over there kind of comment, boy, do I hear about it. Yeah.
What does over there mean,
yeah,
man?
Yeah.
Which way?
Yeah. That's
well,
right.
In South Carolina, it's over there.
Well, you do speak a different language.
Yes.
You're from another country.
But it's not only my progression. It's so rewarding to see the students' progression. And about once every 8 or 9 weeks, we do a class where I ask them the week before to think about a pose that they'd like to do next week. Maybe it's a pose that has helped them with a certain problem, like back pain or knee pain. Or maybe it's a pose that they love, or maybe it's a pose that they don't like so much. And usually I encourage them to pick one that they don't like so much. And when we come together the next week and we talk about that pose, it's really rewarding to hear them use the Sanskrit name. They understand the purpose of the pose, and then they tell me why they want to do that pose that day. Everyone picks a pose, and we put together a class plan on the spot.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. I wonder, do they go through why they don't like a particular pose?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because yeah. I always find it interesting why I don't like something. I think it's always more interesting why I don't like something than why I like something.
Yes, we can learn more about ourselves that way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. They do share, like, you know, it's just too physically challenging, or
it reminds me of something else I don't like.
Sure, maybe, yeah, maybe.
Or I haven't mastered it, so I'd like to get better at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Things like tight hamstrings,
Or I don't like the way it makes me look in these pants.
Yeah. We don't go to that.
Yeah. Because nobody, or at least it's been my experience, whenever we're doing yoga, nobody has ever thought about how any of the poses makes us look. We're just thinking of the benefits of
the yoga,
what the poses are going to do for us.
Mm-hmm. That is one good thing about actually not being able to see what you look like.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I always found it interesting when I was working at the desk, how some of the gentlemen looked in some of the outfits that they were wearing. And I'm not going to mention any names just in case they're listening. Well, actually, I should, but I won't. They actually, I think, were wearing those outfits on purpose. I'll mention their names after their show. You will even know who I mean, Lynn. But anyway, thank you very much. This has been an absolute delight, and I really enjoy this, and maybe we'll have to do this again because there is so much more we could talk about.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for coming in. And my thanks to Jesse Tregarthen for technical assistance.
Namaste.
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 Tune in next time to see what people, places, or things we've been bumping into.
To contact Bumping Into Walls, find us on Twitter at @into_walls. Or send us an email at bumpingintowalls@gmail.com. You can also check out our website, bumpingintowalls.wordpress.com.
Bumping Into Walls is produced, edited, and hosted by
Jesse Tregarthen,
Anthony Hodges,
and Catherine McLeod. To find Lynn Swenson and her described Iyengar yoga classes on AMI TV, go to ami.ca and check for local listings.
You just heard Bumping Into Walls. Their episode featured an interview about a yoga instructor who has learned how to teach blind and low vision students. CJSW broadcasts out of Calgary, Alberta, which resides on Treaty 7 territory, which is also home to Métis Nation Region 3. Calgary resides on land where the Elbow River meets the Bow River, traditionally known as Mokinstis. That's it for CJSW 90.9 FM's contribution to Access Day 2019.